You are listening to another youth ministry podcast. This is a podcast of the Board of Youth and Young Adults of the BFC. Let's roll with it, guys. We exist to refocus, recapture, and realign student ministry with a grace-filled and God-focused vision. I'm Chris.
I'm Jared.
I'm Tim.
And Tim is the one who was dancing to this music while I was trying to talk and made
me
laugh.
So good.
So on behalf of the three of us, we just want to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, or wherever you are. We are so glad you are listening to us because Jared just shared with us an interesting stat. Hit him with it, Jared.
According to Buzzsprout, which is our platform that hosts our podcast, according to location stats, from all our episodes, all 70 episodes that we've published so far, we've reached at least one download in every inhabited continent. So Antarctica is not really noted.
Yeah. No, so that's six continents, people.
Six continents, every continent. Well, at least one download.
Tim, can you name the seven continents?
All right, ready?
Yeah, here we go.
North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia.
Actually, it's Oceania.
Oceania.
Which one?
Because it includes Australia. There's, I think, New Zealand.
Yeah.
And looks like Papua New Guinea or whatever.
When in the world did they change that?
I don't know. That's all. I'm looking at the bus route, and that's how they label it, Oceania.
That sounds like propaganda to me. Anyway.
I mean, if you were living on New Zealand, if you were living on New Zealand and your continent was called Australia, like, that's just prejudice right there.
So. Our continent's called America.
All right. Our next podcast series will be... How to do...
That's kind of like... Think
geography.
About when you go to South America and you're like, oh, I'm from America. They'll be like, where are you from?
Well, what's funny is the rest of the world calls us Americans.
Right.
Even when you travel to South America.
Right. Yeah, it's
anyway, it's right. Anyway, so...
Just quick.
They got rid of Pluto and now they're getting rid of Australia.
No, Australia's still there. It's just Oceania.
Another shout out today.
Another shout out to Dan Williams. Yeah. Overdue. Thank you, Dan, for reaching out back in October.
We really appreciate your ministry in Australia and Oceania, Dan.
No connection.
Sorry.
No connection, but shout out nonetheless. Thank you, Dan. Yeah. From Trinity PFC.
In Pennsylvania, which is in North America.
North America. The United States of America.
So anyway, we're going to transition now, and I'm just going to say it because I have just been waiting to say these words. Tim, you are the worst youth pastor I've ever seen.
Chris,
did that hurt?
That hurt a little bit. That's just tough. I know I'm not in youth ministry anymore, but did you really?
I mean, I just criticized him, didn't I?
Laid it on him.
I laid it on him.
But that was thick.
Well, literally, it wasn't criticism. It was just...
Was that a...
That was like a slander. Almost.
That was a slander. That was
because you weren't really even criticizing. It was just saying you're the worst.
Right.
It's not even criticism. It's just you're the worst.
Tim, you're the worst youth pastor ever because...
Because you're slow.
Yeah. I can't.
You can.
I wasn't prepared. I wasn't even prepared to go into a diatribe about why you're the worst.
I could share with you.
Well, right? That's actually what we're going to do. So that was, okay. You're like, what the heck's going on? Well, you've probably seen the title. You're the worst youth pastor ever. Today's episode is about criticism. Yeah. And, you know, that's a thing that we will all deal with and will have dealt with and will deal with in ministry and life.
Ministry life. And if you step in the role of serving in any capacity.
Yeah. And leading,
any service, really. Yeah. If you're providing a service for somebody,
you're going
to open yourself up to criticism.
The complaints department will be a thing.
All right. And so this episode, we're not going to talk about handling the criticism.
That'll be the next episode.
We just want to share with you and be real with you that we have dealt with it. It has, and we want you to see that it can be pretty rough.
Yeah, so, it can be brutal. So what we're going to do is each of us are going to share criticisms that we have personally received and, you know, obviously share them anonymously. And I want to say not all of these are necessarily like really bad. Some of them are important to listen to. That we also want to communicate that, we're not here to like defend ourselves against them per se. We might explain a little bit of context. And we're not saying that we totally disagree or agree with that. Some of them, I hope we know that we disagree with what they're saying, but in the next episode, we do want to get into like, okay, how do you process this? How do you handle this? But we also felt like it'd be, I don't know, in a weird way, sadistically fun to share our these negative experiences together and hopefully help you feel like you're not alone. yeah. and that these criticisms are actually pretty common, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, some of these most common I've got were, you're not doing enough, in regards to events. Mm. You're not doing enough events. You're not doing enough for the kids to hang out, to socialize, to do things. Which, you know, is an accurate criticism. I'm probably more light on the events side of things, because early on I've run into the fact that, you know, you have teens today are so busy with so many other things that they're doing. But that's near there. One of the things I remember early on, somebody told me, and I think the parent came up to me and said, how long do you usually teach for? I'm like, at that point, I wasn't really tracking it. He's like, you could probably teach less. Teach shorter, because, you know, you're losing the kids. And that could really go in the fact of, like, whether I was engaging. So I don't know if it really had to do with the time I was teaching, but more as I developed a skill and got better at teaching. But
was that, this is a question, did that parent attend and sit? So did that parent hear this from their kid firsthand?
Yeah. They heard from me. And then that's the hard part about criticism in youth ministry, is oftentimes it's going to be secondhand information or third hand information from a parent who heard it from their kid. Mm-hmm. And you, this is going to kind of prelude, we'll talk about more, but you have to take that in consideration as you hear criticism, that it's not, as long as they're there in the room, they see it, it's all secondhand or.
Yeah. And some of these criticisms we're going to hear are just blatantly, they're just not okay when people do them, but others are going to be criticism.
Well, let's actually really quick define criticism. So, criticism to me is not when someone who comes to you and say, "Hey, Jared, how long do you teach?" Mm-hmm. Okay. Why do you do it that way? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about a little less, or have you thought? That's not criticism. That's critically thinking.
Constructive feedback.
Yeah.
Isn't that constructive feedback?
Feedback, to be politically correct.
Yeah.
Criticism is when they're actually coming at you and saying, what you're doing is, like, they're saying this in so many words, what you're doing is wrong.
Right. You need to change
it. You need to change it. And, you know, there's not a conversation, really. They're just coming to say, here's my complaint.
Right.
They're being critical of your work.
Yeah. And you.
Yep.
Really?
Well, yeah. And they're expounding it upon, like, you're bad at this because you're doing this wrong because you're bad at it.
Right. Or in some moments, here's the thing, though. Incompetent. Sometimes it could be true, and you need to hear it with you always have to have the humility to hear all criticism, whether it's healthy or unhealthy.
Yes.
Right. And also have the humility to realize, okay, there's something here. So let me think here.
Now, I'm going to cut you off, though, because you're jumping into our next episode.
I know. Okay. But let's get back. So we're going to share again. So Jared, you said, yours was, someone was criticizing that you don't have enough events, right?
Right. Not enough events. Well, one of the things that kind of got me the most was, in regards to an event, some parents got together, the elders were asking parents certain things about the ministry, trying to evaluate where we were going, whatever. And one of the things I heard from that was something that happened on a retreat or like a beach day or something like that, where this parent saw or heard this kid was exposed to something, or some other older kid said something that they didn't want their kid to hear. Mm-hmm. And they were coming back, like, as that was a complaint against the ministry, against me. And I'm like, I had literally no idea.
This
happened like 3 years ago.
I have the one student pair of didn't. Ears.
I wasn't everywhere. I can't be everywhere. And it's like one of those things. That's just like, okay, I understand. And being mindful that could happen, and being understanding, but realizing that I can't be everywhere all the time with all the students. When we go to the beach and they're on the boardwalk and they're hanging out in groups with a leader, hopefully, and that's the idea, you know, shoring up that, but. That was one of the things that's like, you didn't, this happened, and I blame you, even though you had no idea.
And the thing is, again, we don't want to jump too much in the next episode, but, like, you want parents to share that information with you.
Of course.
It's, hey, just so you know, this happened, just for the future. Right. Instead of, this happened, how dare you let this happen?
Right. Or this happened, and come back years later and say, oh, it happened like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is the reason my kid's not coming. And it's like, okay.
Well, thanks for telling me now.
I can't do anything about it now.
Yeah. So those are your main.
It was something, and the other things are, you know, early on, not being outgoing enough, which I think goes against who I am. Like, you know, you grow into that, but those things that you're not connecting with people the same way that they expect you to connect with people on a regular basis. I'm like, okay, well, I have things going on, but
yeah.
But all that's it. Those are things that you need to be, I'm aware of, that have happened, that, you know, have in the moment are hard to deal with, because they're like, especially the couple of those are like personal attacks. It's feel like personal attacks. It's like, I'm not who you want me to be, and therefore you're criticizing that. I'm like, I can't change for you. So,
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just really, it's really tough. And it can hurt.
It does. And it's hard not to take it personal.
And then go to bed.
It is. Yeah. And go to bed. Yeah. Yeah. I have a gamut list myself. I don't know how much time we want this. How long did we want this episode to be?
A lot of people criticize Chris.
Yeah, that is true.
His name is Chris.
That's right, Chris.
The
one word criticism. Yeah, that was a horribly failed joke. Can you give him a? I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
I don't know which one.
Oh, just try it. Yes.
Got it right.
I feel criticized.
Yes, your joke was terrible. All right. Well, this first one's going to be a shock.
Not funny.
It's going to be a shock to the two of you and any listener who knows me, and that's that I preach too long. I received that early on. First of all, I got criticized that I preached at all to two young people. It wasn't like it wasn't terrible, but people were just like, I mean, you did my ordination service, which a lot of these guys don't know. Like Tim, I asked him to be my speaker. And he said when he heard that I was going to preach to students, was like, what? Like, what?
That was one of the first times in Youth Men that I heard someone so boldly just being like, yeah, we preach this, we preach that, preach, preach, preach. And I'm like, what in the world is
it? You don't preach to students, you teach
them. Who does this guy think he is?
Crazy.
Exactly. So I got criticism for that. I got criticism that I went too long, but I quickly adjusted, and the students, I think, quickly caught up to being able to handle it. But then the biggest one, actually, early on, that I'd be honest, a lot of my youth leaders, I don't want to say they criticized, they just really disagreed with it. Some people might have, but they actually came along because they saw the benefits, was that I combined middle school and high school. Mm. We used to have them separated, not separate nights, but the game time would be as a group, but they actually had a divider, and then they'd split them up for the teaching. Yeah. So there was that. One of the ones I got my first year was this family that was disgruntled. They ended up leaving. It was a really sad situation, how it all worked out, but they were upset. Now, we've been over their house for dinner twice, and I went over there. I threw the ball around with their sons who played baseball. I took them to a baseball game as well, separately, and then they weren't coming to youth group. And so I didn't see them as often, and then they were upset that I didn't talk to them that as much. And I'm like, well, what more do you want me to do? Like, I literally took time to take them out, and it was like, well, they're not coming. Well, so you just want us to bring our kids to your ministry so you'll invest in them? I'm like, well, that's kind of how it works. Like, yes, you do pursue them outside of the gathering, right?
Right.
But if I'm not seeing you on a regular basis, how can I check in with
bandwidth,
you?
Yeah.
We, at that time, we had like 80 kids. Yeah. Like, you know, so anyway, a couple others, you focus too much on the high school. Because I, especially when I first came, I felt like they were not being focused on enough. And then the one I got recently, actually, within the last year during a survey, was, you know, I challenge students to not pursue sports at the exclusion of church or student ministry, like be here. And, I challenge them on that. I don't berate them for it, but I challenge them. And I had taken this family, me and another leader took their sons out, I think twice. It was at least once. And just, hey, we want to get to know you guys. So glad you're here. You know, we encourage you to come out as often as you can. Well, they would just not show up for sports. And then in the comments, their mom said, you know, the youth ministry seems to only care about students who don't play sports and aren't involved in sports. And they said, you know, the middle class kids need to be reached too. And I was like, I don't even know how to understand that. Yeah. That was like the only comment that was made. Mm. And they were already gone. So I was like, how do you, you know, that's just like, all right. And then my brother, to throw in one for him, he was at a church that used a King James, but the pastor was not King James only, but there was a King James only family. Mm. And when he used ESV once, he got it. Anyway, that's my condensed
list. So we're going to try something new here, first time on the podcast. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. And we're back from our first ever break. Going back to criticism. Tim, we're sharing our own criticism, and what kind of criticism have you encountered in your many years of youth ministry?
So I said Chris and Jared. I had to do some deep thinking. I tend to, once I've had criticism, dealt with it. I erased it, but here we go. Things that I remember.
His list is longer than ours.
I've had things like, your youth ministry isn't entertaining enough. My kid would come if it was more fun. Mm. I've had that.
My kid would come if it was more fun. That right. is like... Yeah. Wow.
My kid isn't connecting and making friends at church. Maybe you should do ... I've had multiple, I've had these come in over the years, just different parents, just kind of, they in their heart, man, they want their kid there. And they think that, well, you must not be doing something right. And so then they criticize you. you should be pushing us to reach more kids. So this criticism came from an actual student that said, you should be pushing us to want to reach good kids. All right, so the heart evangelism, but it was more about, oh, because we could get, if we have a goal and a number, we should have a goal of how many kids we have there. Let's tell everybody, we want to see 10 new kids next week, and trying to push the attractional. And I've had that criticism, and that was also difficult to listen to, because it was coming from another ministry the person was involved in.
But I have a quick answer to that. Go get 10 friends.
Do it on your own.
Exactly.
But I had that. And then I also had, my kid isn't learning anything because you don't have enough illustrations. Or I've had another one where it was like, well, you know, if you provided paper notes, that would make your teaching... different stuff, yeah. Like just people trying to, you know, they want something. So they criticize what you're doing. So yeah, those are mine.
That's a good one. Yeah. Or a good list, I should say.
So Chris is over there going like, yeah, yep, I agree. I would have said the same thing.
Yeah. Your ministry stinks. Well, that's
you're the worst youth pastor ever.
Well, I think Chris. Going back to the idea of where criticism comes from is when you're providing a service, that person doesn't feel like that service is meeting the need that they have. And they have to in general, you have to understand that things like this are reaching more than just one person or one family. You have to account for all the different people involved, all the different families, backgrounds, all this kind of stuff.
All right.
Well, that's, you know, we'll jump into this in the next episode, but just a little teaser. That's the first thing I would say to those who are criticized, how you handle it is, you know, do you have a settled philosophy of ministry, and do you filter your criticisms through that?
Yeah.
Because if your philosophy is not to entertain kids and you're not a service, you're a ministry,
right,
underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ, who gives a rip,
right,
what that consumer, cause you're like, I don't want consumers.
Right.
I want
disciples.
Sheep. Disciples. Exactly. So anyway, I'd like us to discuss, something that at least, you know, we'll distinguish these things from criticism in general in the church, because we have already said that you're going to receive criticism in life, period, if you're a human in a sinful world, which we all are. So, right. And you will give criticism in this life.
Yeah.
But how is criticism, guys? I have two questions for us. First one is, how is criticism as a youth pastor? How is it the same or similar to the criticism that a senior pastor or, you know, just another associate pastor might receive? Like, how is it identical in your minds?
Feels the same.
It feels the same. Okay. But I think in the same sense, it's the same in the regards that oftentimes it's not biblical criticism. You know, I don't think, like, a lot of people are criticizing way you do something or the lack of doing something or techniques and stuff. And rarely, I mean, occasionally you get this, but rarely is it criticism that comes, you didn't interpret that passage correctly, or you didn't teach that correctly, or this part of your ministry is not meeting this biblical standard, or whatever the case is. It's often not that. It's often personal preference that is not being met. That's just my experience.
Sure. I'd say both. You know, if you're in youth or a senior role, you're... what you say up front, teaching, preaching, the words that come out of your mouth publicly are going to be criticized. You know, whether it's, as you pointed out in your list, Jared, too long or attention grabbing enough?
Yeah, not engaging enough.
Yeah, whatever. Engaging enough, that whole thing. Not enough illustrations, you know. I actually, I forgot about this because it wasn't a youth ministry criticism. I had a guy... It was during the pandemic, earlier on. We were preaching through Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11 was my passage. You know, that Christ humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, and he's now exalted right hand of the Father. And I opened up with, today, you know, we have heard several sermons, and we've applied it to this COVID thing, and all of us are kind of tired of it. I think we just need to set aside what's going on in the world right now and just look to Christ and who he is outside of time. Mm-hmm. And I just preached that text and got an email, and this, and we went back and forth for a while. This guy was like, you totally blew it. You missed an opportunity to encourage people. You know, we're all going through this right now, and you totally blew it. I was like, well, hold on. We've talked about it for weeks. We're talking about it. I know we're talking about it in the coming weeks. Yeah, I know, but you blew it. Like, and I was like, whoa. And to that guy's credit, like a year later, I preached another sermon and I applied it to COVID, and he, great job. So, you know, but I was like, that, no matter what you say, mm-hmm. someone's going to be upset or critical.
So how is it different then? How is criticism from the pastor or associate pastor different from criticism you would handle in youth ministry then?
I think it goes back to what I said at the very beginning.
Yep.
It's often secondhand or thirdhand criticism. It's not the people, like, I mean, your story of the student saying that, that comes firsthand in the room per se.
That's rare.
It's rare. Usually it's a parent or an elder or another leader coming from what they heard about XYZ or so-and-so saying, hey, this is, we're not doing that. You're not doing this because of Tommy's not wanting to come because it's not fun, whatever. To use your example, it's usually oftentimes secondhand, at least. Whereas a senior pastor usually gets it firsthand because it's either about the service that the person attended or it's something, interaction they had or something like that, that it's, you know, your tie was crooked or something.
Yeah. And then typically what's interesting about youth ministry, I mean, I don't know if this is unique, probably more often in youth ministry than the church. You get criticized by people in youth ministry who don't even show up. Like, you're not reaching out to my kid.
Yes.
Like, and my kid doesn't come because they have basketball 6 nights a week and they have to do their homework the other night.
and they're working.
Yeah. And you're not reaching out to them. You know, now, you usually people aren't criticizing too much at a church they don't attend because they're not there.
Right.
But it's amazing how much you can be criticized as a youth guy. They're like, wait, what? What was your name again?
Mm-hmm. I think also to that fact that youth ministry can more oftentimes feel like a service or be viewed as a service to parents or families. And so then that consumerism kind of comes in more.
Yes,
so
because it's additional.
Yeah.
But usually it's a mindset that carries over. And I think another thing is one of the, I think, woes and benefits of student ministry is it's a cycle. So if you get some crazy parent or a student situation and they're a sophomore, like, okay, 2 years, they're out of here. You know, for the but if you have someone criticize you in the broader church and they're like, you know, healthy in their mid-40s, man, you could have a whole nother, you have the rest of your career with that person you got to learn to live with.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is unique. And then I also say usually youth pastors, not always, are much younger. It's they're starting out.
Yeah. And so it's the looking down upon.
Yep.
That can feel more
personal. And you're going to make more mistakes
because you're younger. Right. Well, yeah. So when you're younger, you get criticized more. And then as you get older,
you just don't care anymore. So,
well, we've been struggling in this episode but to stay away from talking about how to handle it, right?
To that regard, well, as a final point, as you get older, there's more respect that comes with being a senior pastor than a youth pastor, because you're like, oh, you're a young kid.
Yes.
Late 20s, early 30s, and you're like, oh, you don't know any better. Especially because as a parent, you're looking at them and say, you don't even have teenagers in your house. You don't know what it's like. This is terrible. You know,
and I always say, when I meet with parents and counsel them, I always say that, you know, I think I have the word of God. I have experience interacting with young people. I'm closer to their age than you. Yeah. Depending on the parent, I might say that. But then I say, I've never raised teenagers. I don't live with them. So
when I don't know yours the same level.
I always say I'm here to help you, not tell you what to do.
Right.
But yeah, that whole youth thing is crazy. Cause I remember again, first 6 months, I had a family, I want to keep it anonymous, so be careful what I say. I was asked to go talk to them by the leadership about a specific thing in their life, and when we met with them, they got really upset And the husband looked across the table and he was like, "You are not my pastor. So and so, the senior pastor,
yeah,
he is my pastor. You like," and that did not, it, yeah.
Yeah. So, we could also say that we're talking about what's the difference, but now we're kind of talking about criticism again in general. But I would say, when it comes to how much criticism you're going to get, there are factors that could play. So Chris came into a youth ministry that had already been established and took over. You're going to get a lot more criticism as you shift a ministry from one person. That's you're going to get a
change
lot.
Preferences
and you should expect it. Mm-hmm. You should expect it if you were a younger man that's growing and learning. When you make mistakes, you'll get criticism, even though you may be already like, "Oh, that was a mistake. You're fixing it." Yeah. Someone might still criticize you.
Yeah.
Personality.
Right, your personality. If you are a type A dominant leader, that someone that kind of
like Jared,
that describes me to the team. Right,
I think we'll let them in the comments. Who do you think the type A in this room is? You'll get more criticism depending on your personality. Mm-hmm. And so it's just you're gonna get criticism, and you got to be aware of it. So our next episode is going to be about handling criticism. Yeah. So
what? How have we handled it? You have to stay tuned to next week.
Stay tuned. So thanks for listening to this episode of Another Youth Ministry Podcast. Please connect with us on Instagram at Another YM Podcast, or you can email us at AnotherYMPodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.